CFL looking at all their options, and to talk about that and a whole lot more, we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to kick off this hour with our pal and our buddy from Three Down Nation. He is Justin Dunk. JD, what's up? Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well, man, buddy. I feel for you and everyone out there in Calgary. It's a nice 15, 16 degrees here in downtown Toronto. The sun is shining. Summer is upon us. Hopefully it happens out west soon, too.
Well, that's all the time we have today. Justin, I'm going to let you go. good times. We had a good week here last week, so we'll take it. And the long weekend wasn't too bad. What's been going on, pal? It's been a couple of weeks since we've chatted. What's new in your world?
Oh, well, you know, just trying to obviously stay safe and away from COVID-19, and still getting some workouts in, staying in shape, doing the home thing, and then tracking everything that's going on in the world of the CFL. What about you?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing here. Today, going to take the option on the run. Nobody likes to run in the rain. But, yeah, I've been trying to stay a little bit active, playing a little bit of golf, which is nice. I know Ontario just opened up their golf courses. So trying to keep a little bit of normalcy in the life. But, yeah, man, just grinding it out. And you know, it's funny. We were laughing, and I'm sure you've had the same type of feeling. It just seems like any little bit of information from any of the leagues, it's like a massive news. We spend hours talking about it. But that's kind of what it feels like right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. It's like, it's in, especially for content for Three Down Nation, we're looking at, you know, signings that we might never even touch, or, you know, Joe Reinhardt, with all due respect, retired from the Calgary Stampeders. Well, he never even played a game for them, but, you know, we're putting that up as content because we're just sort of searching for any storyline until we get some real games going.
Did get a bit of a story in some storylines yesterday from Commissioner Randy Ambrosi. There's been a lot happening with the CFL, going all the way back to that number and the one that caught everybody off guard, kind of that big number in terms of a financial ask from the federal government. But since then, the CFL has been looking at options and looking at different possibilities to see if they can have some sort of 2020 season. We've talked about that in the past, but Randy Ambrosi holding a virtual town hall with a bunch of people across the country yesterday. What were your main takeaways from that chat with the commissioner yesterday?
Number one, and I think overall the biggest one for sure, was that the CFL is actually smartly now looking at their business model. There'd be a lot of people that argue, well, they should have done it if behind the scenes they knew that the league was losing a combined $10 to $20 million per year. And everyone looks at the Saskatchewan Roughriders, Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and the Edmonton Eskimos as making profit and having that type of revenue coming in the door and being profitable overall. But when you're losing $10 to $20 million, that was the time when you should have really started looking at your business plan, not in the middle of a pandemic. So to me, the fact that they're now actually really taking a hard look at it, because you can't operate a league going forward and wanting it to be prosperous in the future if you're going to lose that type of money. So I think the league is really, and Ambrosi didn't really get into many specifics yesterday outside of the announcements that were made, but the league is looking at where they can cut costs so that they can try to put themselves in a better financial position, regardless of the pandemic, but also to get through it as well and potentially play games.
So all that being said, was the timing, how would I phrase this question, the timing of not only the town hall yesterday, but also the timing of the financial ask, did all that seem to be now in hindsight a little off, if you will?
I know what you mean. In a sense, it did, and it didn't come out the way the league would have wanted to in terms of it being leaked out from Parliament Hill and then getting to the media before Ambrosi actually presented to the Standing Committee on Finance. But I think what's lacking here overall and has really started to denigrate Ambrosi's reputation around the country is that he's really low on details. Like, even when he went in front of the members of Parliament and asked for that $150 million, puts a presentation together, well, he didn't have a detailed financial plan of where exactly that money was going to go to, and obviously didn't even bring the players along. So I think even when you look at the town hall that he held, there wasn't really many details there. Yes, he announced that the earliest they could potentially play was September. The Grey Cup had to be moved. Everyone knew those things. Touchdown Atlantic wasn't going to work. All of those things were things that people knew were not going to happen in 2020. So when he actually gets asked some questions by media or fans, the details have been pretty sparse. Now, I understand we're in a pandemic, but when you're going in front of the government, you need to be sealed up and have a game plan ready to go. And if Ambrosi was going into a football game, he would have caught whoop. That scoreboard would have read like 63-0 if you put a score on it from what he did in front of the government. So I think overall going forward, if he's going to put himself out there in the public or do interviews around the country with radio stations or TV or print, he needs to have some specific details or essentially something concrete to say. Otherwise, just continue work on your plan getting through this pandemic.
He is Justin Dunk from Three Down Nation, joining us to talk all things CFL here on the 9 on Sportsnet 960. So that all that being said, JD, because I agree with you, I think that's the biggest takeaway when you look at that financial ask and his work in the House of Commons and all that. Just underprepared, and there's no question about it. He didn't have the resources that he needed. So where are we at right now, I guess, when it comes to that financial ask? And is Ambrosi and or the CFL going to have another chance to present their case? Where are we at right now with all that in the federal government?
It seems like there will be. Now, a date hasn't been set, but because the MPs really wanted to hear from the players' side, that they're probably going to get one more sort of hack at the plate, at least with the players involved in that. And it's going to be detailed. So the CFL and the Players Association already knew this and they had been preparing for it. It's just the CFL didn't involve them. So they need to go into that potentially, if it even happens, with, as we mentioned earlier, a much more detailed plan. There are people around the league that feel like, you know, the Canadian government is sort of standing tough and really asking hard questions, which they need to do because they represent the citizens and the taxpayers, just like you and me. And at the end of the day, they'll get some money. But to get that whole $150 million seems like a little bit of a Hail Mary throw from the CFL to try to get them out of a financial hole that they were already in before the pandemic even hit.
Now, back to that town hall yesterday, another big announcement, of course, was the changes to this year's Grey Cup if it is played. I know some were trying to spin everything that Ambrosi said yesterday into a positive type of news story. Where do you come out on that? Because I still think the possibility of no games at all is a realistic one and is certainly one that the CFL knows is very much still on the radar. Where do we come out on the Grey Cup movement or adjustments? And even that, you know, without having that week-long festival, that's got to be not only a huge financial hit to the city of Regina, who was going to host that, but also to the league, no?
Certainly it would be for Regina. And then even the league overall, just from an exposure standpoint, yes, you want to sort of bring in the dollars and cents as well. But Grey Cup week is one that elicits a lot of focus from media around the country and really puts a lot of eyeballs on the CFL. But the fact that we're in this pandemic and you weren't going to be able to have that number of people there, you know, made a ton of sense. So again, it was a decision that overall had to be made. And yes, you know, people have talked about, well, the financial impact will not be able to benefit Regina in that way, but they're still going to get the game in 2022. And even if it stayed there, let's say hypothetically, I think this is what you're getting at, in 2020, it wasn't like it was going to be the same Grey Cup anyways. You weren't going to have that number of people coming and traveling to the city, going to hotels, bars, and all those different types of things. So to me, it rings a little bit hollow when you're sort of maybe crying that the Grey Cup got taken away from you because it wasn't going to be the same experience.
Now, I know that when everything kind of started around the pandemic, the CFL was one that really came out and said, we can't necessarily operate the same way the NHL, the NBA, the NFL do, and even Major League Baseball. We, you know, our business model doesn't allow us to play without fans was essentially what the CFL had come out and said. Are they changing on that a little bit, JD? It seems like maybe they're looking at it and saying we might have to because not playing at all could be really detrimental to the league.
Agreed. And I think for this question, you have to really look to the owners and especially the presidents that have been public in their comments. David Braley, for one, has own multiple CFL teams. Right now, the owner of the BC Lions, he essentially said, if we don't play in 2020, there might not be a CFL going forward. So he knows the value of trying to play in 2020 for a number of reasons. The Ticats CEO, they call him Scott Mitchell, has said that, you know, we want to play. Bob Young, their owner, he wants to get on the field. And they realize that even just from the standpoint of viewability and not going quiet for an entire year, that's going to benefit the league. So they're looking at a number of scenarios, playing without fans, playing with fans. But as the Alouettes president, Mario Cecchini, pointed out, that even if you play with, let's say, a small amount of fans in there and you're properly physically distanced, that still costs you a lot of money in terms of having more security at the game, the proper health procedures that are going to have to be followed, and what you're going to have there for fans. So without, you know, knowing the inner details and workings and adding up all of the money that it would take to have fans there, I think when you look at it more and more, that it would make sense. And the CFL, if they sort of shrunk down the staff that they would need to be at games without fans, that it actually could be feasible for the league.
He is Justin Dunk. Couple more with him from Three Down Nation, all things CFL. Randy Ambrosi holding a virtual town hall on Wednesday, updating the latest with the league, where he indicates the earliest start time would be September. I know the same thing, much like the crowds, the one thing that the CFL has not joined in the the big four in terms of the sports leagues in North America, they have not joined until recently the hub city model when it comes to playing the year. Now, the CFL seems like they have been open to that. Is that more of a reality in terms of playing into colder months and looking at indoor stadiums, or are they seriously just trying to turn over every rock here?
I think they're just looking at every scenario. And when Ambrosi was asked about it and responded in the town hall, it didn't seem like he was super enthused about the idea. But again, I'm no businessman. I'm not a president of the team. I'm not the commissioner of the league. But when you look at the hub city concept, and I'm going to keep running this idea out there, that I think an area like Regina and Saskatoon could be perfect. If you get those American players over the border, you're going to have to travel them to their respective cities anyway. So what if Regina and Saskatoon, let's say hypothetically, because they have a relatively low COVID-19 case total, were the hub cities for the entire season? That way you don't have to worry about any travel. And once you get everyone there, you can create essentially a CFL bubble of players and personnel and what you would need to play games. And maybe the only way you travel is up and down from Regina to Saskatoon if you wanted to play some games at Mosaic Stadium, perhaps. So my idea there is that you could quarantine the players and the staff and have them stay either at the University of Regina or the University of Saskatchewan, both which will be doing online classes for their students, so there won't be all of those students on campus. And I think that way you could really cut costs. Instead of flying, let's say, a bunch of players into Calgary and then they have to travel to a couple different cities to potentially play games, or they have to go from Calgary to, let's say, Winnipeg, if that became a hub city, why not just travel everyone into one area and just really lock it down and isolate it? And I would have to imagine that would cut costs. But again, I would have to sit there and add it up and do that alongside a team representative.
Now, of course, the one thing that's not even on a lot of people's radar, but I do want to ask you about it, because it seemed like it was the goal really since Randy Ambrosi took office as CFL commissioner. That was expanding the league to an even 10 teams. I think everyone would assume that COVID-19 has sunk the dream on the East Coast. What can you tell us about the Atlantic Schooners?
So Gary Drummond is sort of the new front man there. He's a businessman out of Regina that was involved with the Arizona Coyotes, and he had known Anthony LeBlanc, so that's part of the reason that they partnered up. So now that LeBlanc has gone to the Ottawa Senators, it's now sort of Drummond's taking the lead role, if you will. So I think that they realize that, especially with all that's gone on the East Coast, you know, outside of COVID-19 and the tragedy that has happened there, that their focus is elsewhere. So it seems like it's on pause now, not to say they're not doing any work, but in terms of going to the next level of government, which is what they were going to have to do in the next step provincially to secure some money to continue to try to get the stadium built, that timeline, I think, is going to be shifted. So Ambrosi admitted, you know, that the dream is still there and that they're still putting it work on it on their side. But from a government standpoint, that timeline is definitely going to be altered.
Now, the last kind of topic we'll discuss today is the CBA, because, of course, they agreed to a new CBA last May before this pandemic, and nobody really saw it coming. But that seems to be the hiccup in a lot of other leagues, whether it be Major League Baseball or the NBA, in terms of player pay and making tweaks or adjustments to said CBA. What has the cooperation been like between the two sides? Where do you see that going? And if there are any changes, are we looking at just a, you know, kind of a 1 year type of tweak here to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic? Or is this something that really is going to be an overhaul of the CBA? Where are we at on that?
Well, I've sort of been calling it the COVID CBA or the coronavirus CBA, because that's essentially what they have to do. And Ambrosi admitted that no one, and that, you know, us, me and you included, buddy, foresaw a pandemic coming. So they really didn't have any plans for it in the CBA. So literally, they're going to have to go through the major factors of the CBA, and top among them for the players is going to be salary, right? If the season is cut down, let's say, to make it easy, for half a season, are they still going to get half of their salary? Or what's it going to look like based on what we talked about earlier in terms of the team side and the cost of potentially playing games without fans? How does that affect the player's salary? So I think overall, the players realize that, yes, we want to get on the field, and communication has definitely been stepped up after there was that time where Ambrosi really wasn't listening to them or picking up their call for a couple of weeks. I believe that was in April. Now they're communicating much more regularly. They're looking at being ready to go if that's possible and games actually do happen. So I think it's going to be, you know, a little bit tricky, and maybe it gets contentious because both sides are going to try to want to have the benefits that they can here, but it's a totally different situation. So I think they have to understand that, you know, maybe there's going to have to be more give from both sides. They have games actually happen in 2020.
Now, I know that they have said that the games wouldn't start until about September, and that's why maybe this question doesn't even matter at this point, but I know that early on it was an issue. The U.S.-Canada border being closed to non-essential travel, is that something that is going to end up being a hurdle for the CFL? Will they be able to get exemption like, you know, other leagues have gone out and done? I would assume there would be ways around that, yeah?
I would assume that, yes, if that's something that they come to. And right now I believe that extension was made until, I think, the end of June.
Yeah, June 21, I think. Yeah.
There you go. You bang on, partner. So if that got extended even more, let's say, and the CFL actually was really looking like they could play games in September, well, they would go to the government and see if they could secure some type of an agreement to get their players over the border. It would have to follow all the health procedures, self-isolation and quarantine for 14 days, obviously, but that's definitely something that's being talked about as well is, you know, can we do that and how would we go about it safely with the government's go-ahead?
Now, lastly, I know that we talked about this the last time we had you on briefly, because already they're looking at contingency plans, you know, for really every league across the country, whether it be amateur or pro. And I know the NCAA has been in focus for some south of the border, but I know that you have connections. I know your focus is the CFL, but I know you have connections and talk to people involved in the day-to-day when it comes to U sports. What do we know right now, Justin, as we sit here in May, about the 2020 football season in U sports?
The different conferences seem to be discussing it in various ways. And what we know for sure right now is the Canada West Conference has planned, if it's possible, to play five games. So they at least want to try to get some football in. The other conferences are looking at that and trying to model out, you know, what could happen. The one area that I have heard that could be affected is there might not be any interconference play in 2020. Now, that's still up for debate and discussion and to be decided, but that would essentially just have you play within your own conference, so you don't have any cross-country travel there, and we maybe don't have a Vanier Cup. Although there are people on the other side of it that say, well, if you're going to play, let's say, you know, five-game regular season, there's really only three out-of-conference games there anyway. So two national semifinals and a Vanier Cup itself. So could you go about that in a safe manner, perhaps? So all of those things are still being discussed, and I would imagine that some of the other conferences are going to at least try to follow suit with Canada West in finding a way to get some sort of football on the field, albeit safely.
And I know, I guess we'll finish off with this, because you mentioned the Vanier Cup. I know at this point there is no host city selected. The easy thing And maybe this is the way they can get back to holding it in the same city. But would the easy thing at this point, or is it going to be talked about to have it in the same city as the Grey Cup?
That was something that was being discussed last year around Grey Cup time. It was getting really close that Vanier Cup was potentially going to be in Saskatoon, so just up the road from Regina, where Grey Cup was going to be hosted. But if you look at what the CFL did, I really think part of that decision was that, you know, you don't have to travel two teams into a city, let's say. So if the Calgary Stampeders hosted the Grey Cup, then, you know, at least they're in Calgary. They can be in their own homes and isolated and healthy. So I would imagine that U Sports, if they do get to that point where they could have a Vanier Cup in 2020, would take the similar method, although that's still got to be talked about. I mean, Laval's in it, you know, kind of every other year anyways, and they hosted a bunch, so it might not affect that too much.
Yeah, no doubt about it. JD, good stuff, man. As always, you can check him out on Twitter at JDunk12. He's got the latest on the CFL. He's the one to follow when it comes to CFL news on the daily. Appreciate you jumping on, pal. Stay safe out there and enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah, I will for sure, man. Keep swinging those sticks out there. You got to get that handicap down.
That's right. I will. And if you make it out this way, we will. If you make it out this way when travel is allowed again, we'll physically distance golf.
I'm down.
Love it. See you, buddy.
See you, man.